Our Father, we thank you for how we are privileged to be allowed to know you through your Son. We know that's because of your heart toward us. Something that should surprise us, that you should be so loving, that you should care for us. And yet you have in the most amazing way. And we thank you that in your care for us, not only have you enabled us to be right with you through your Son, but we thank you for blessing us with your Spirit and giving us your wonderful word so that we can be assured in our knowledge of you and be growing in the truth. As your children, we ask that you would help us to be growing in your word. And as a result, our faith would be growing and our usefulness in your kingdom would be more and more. I ask that you would apply your word to us today, including to me as well, that our lives would be getting transformed by the things that we read. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start off this morning by saying to you, have you ever been in a conflict? Sure you have. It's inevitable. Living on this crazy world, in this crazy world, you're going to have conflict, aren't you? And I just remember just a very small incident, really, just the other day. I think it was last week when the phone rang. So I picked up the phone and I answered it, and it was John from Telstra. Well, supposedly from Telstra. And he started to tell me about this fantastic phone deal. Have you had a phone call like that? This fantastic phone deal. And as I'm going, he's going along and I'm trying to get in and say to him, I'm not interested. But finally I butted in and I said to him, I'm not interested. I've got a contract with another phone company. So then I must admit, I was shocked by these words. He said to me, you're a liar. Can you imagine that? And so what do you reckon that might have done in my heart? And so, yeah, that's right. I started to say to him, you calling me a liar? Come on, you know, like, you ring me up, you don't know who I am, you don't know what phone company I'm with, and you're calling me a liar. So I got a bit disturbed up, and I started to hit back at him, how dare he call me a liar? Then I thought I'd go further. I want to talk to your supervisor, John, so you better go get him. So anyway, he said some derogatory comments to me, and then he said to me, you're wasting my time. All right. Okay, so then the phone went dead, not by me, but by him. So what do you reckon, eh? Well, now I have to admit this, I was angry. I was angry. And if I could, I would have rung the number and get hold of them, but you can't anyway. But then, you know what happened? You know all this. I settle down, and then suddenly the Lord starts talking to me about this. Yes, I do know that what John, whatever his name was, what he did was inappropriate and wrong, but the Lord had to challenge me in regard to my response. I had not remained calm. I had not shown compassion. I did not show Christ to him. Oh, Lord. So then I had to confess to the Lord. Does that happen to you? And how easy it is when we're in a conflict to just get totally stirred up and we start behaving incorrectly, and even justify our reaction, easy to do that, in response to what that other person has done. Well, that's only a relatively short-lived conflict. How do you go when it comes to intense conflicts with our people around you, with family members? How do you go when you have serious conflicts in your life? Well, this morning we're going to consider the Apostle Paul, especially in Acts chapter 22. And we're going to see, as we continue our series in the book of Acts, we're going to see Paul, how he dealt with a very severe conflict that he was engaged in. But before we look at this, I want us to just recall the situation. What was confronting Paul? Well, Paul had just come to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit had urged him or commanded him to go to Jerusalem. He had come to the end of his third missionary journey. And let me just remind you that he had come to Jerusalem to do a very wonderful thing. Does anyone know what he had come to do? He had come to bring alms and gifts to the Jewish people. Did you know that? In Acts chapter 24, verse 17, he says that, after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings. So he actually had come to Jerusalem in a very wonderful way to bless these people. The people from where the gospel sprung from. He had been going around encouraging the Gentile believers to give to the Jewish believers. So you need to remember that. So there he is in Jerusalem. And let's pick up some of what happens in Acts chapter 21. Let's read verses 27 and 28. When 7 days were almost over, Jews from Asia, upon seeing Paul in the temple, began to stir up all the crowd and they laid hands on him. Wow! He's come to give a wonderful gift to the Jewish nation and to do some vows in the temple, and suddenly there's trouble. In verse 28 they say, "Men of Israel, come to our aid. This is the man who preaches to all men everywhere against our people and the law and this place. And besides, he's even brought Greeks into the temple and he has defiled this holy place." These people had just uttered a whole lot of lies, false accusations. How do you feel when you're accused falsely? I know what I'm tempted to do. and so are we all normally. And yet nothing happened. Paul doesn't respond in a very bad way. Let's keep reading. Verse 30. "Then all the city was provoked and the people rushed together, and taking hold of Paul, they dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. And while they were seeking to kill him, a report came up to the commander of the Roman cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. At once he took along some soldiers and centurions and ran down to them, and when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul." Do you see how serious it is? What a conflict. These are Jewish people. These are non-Christians. They were out to kill Paul. They wanted to bash him and beat him. They were just wanting to get rid of him. Wow, what an intense time it was. In verses 33, it goes on to say, "Then the commander came up and took hold of him and ordered him to be bound with two chains, and he began asking who he was and what he had done. But among the crowd, some were shouting one thing and some another. And when he could not find out the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks. And when he got to the stairs," that's the stairs of the barracks, "he was carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. For the multitude of the people kept following them, shouting, 'Away with him!'" For me, when I read a passage like that, I've got to try and picture what's going on. And I can't help but think of how they are absolutely violent. And Paul, for his protection, I'm picturing that he's being carried on the shoulders of the soldiers, carried on their shoulders, so that they cannot pull at him and drag him down and beat him and kill him. And they're not only being violent, but they're being so vehement. "Away with him! Enough with this man!" They were so angry toward him. When I look at this huge conflict that Paul was embroiled in, it's so easy for any of us to, if we were a Paul, to just be so angry at their behavior, to be so annoyed and embittered and so incensed that they are behaving like this. But Paul didn't become angry. He didn't become outraged. He didn't even threaten them. He could have prosecuted them for causing a riot in the city of Jerusalem. What did Paul do instead? Paul showed compassion. Wow. Compassion in conflict. I've got to say, friends, that's a rare thing, even amongst Christians. And indeed, did he not behave just like someone else we love and know, even Jesus? For when the Son of God was falsely accused, when he was beaten and whipped and scourged, when he was put upon that cross with full compassion, what did he say? "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." We know that Jesus was able to be like that. But what is so surprising is that Paul was able to be compassionate too. And really, the Lord Jesus expects all of his children to be like that, because we have his Spirit to help us to be like him. This morning, as we consider the Apostle Paul, we're going to see his response to those who hated him. And I pray that we might seek to be like Paul, who was following Jesus. I want to just point out to you three things as we look at this passage this morning. With a compassionate heart, we shall see Paul caring for sinners. conveying his story and commending the Saviour even to those who hated him with a passion. So let's see what Paul does just before he entered into the soldiers' barracks where he would be safe from the mob. If you have your Bibles, let's have a read from Acts chapter 21, verses 37 to 40. It says in verse 37, as Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the commander, may I say something to you? Let's go down to verse 39. And Paul said, I am a Jew of Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no insignificant city, and I beg you, allow me to speak to the people. When he'd given him permission, Paul, standing on the stairs, motioned to the people with his hand, and when there was a great hush, he spoke to them in the Hebrew dialect, or Aramaic, and then he said what we're going to read in chapter 22. Now, the first thing that I find so extraordinary here is that Paul did not go into that barracks to find safety. That's what I would have done. What did Paul do? Instead of turning towards the safety of the barracks, he turned toward the people. He turned toward the people. Why did he want to turn toward the people? Because he wanted to speak to them. Why would you want to speak to this hostile crowd? What on earth is Paul doing? Why does he not turn away from them in disgust? Why does he want to turn to them and give a defense of his position? Because he loved them. Because he cared for them. He cared for sinners. I reckon that is so clear in this passage. What compassion he had for that crowd. I can only imagine the Apostle Paul, like the Lord Jesus, seeing people properly. I could only imagine the Apostle Paul seeing that people who were so full of hatred towards him, seeing them as people who were separated from God. People who were enslaved to Satan. People who were lost sinners. And his heart went out to them. Instead of looking for to himself and for safety for himself, he wanted to speak to them. To speak to them indeed. There's an amazing passage in Romans chapter 9 that shows you the incredible heart that Paul had for the Jewish people. In Romans chapter 9 verses 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul says, I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. That is incredible. Paul would be willing to go to hell if it meant the saving of his people who were the Jewish people. So great was his love for his people despite all that they did to him. He had such great compassion. What an amazing compassionate heart Paul had to lost sinners. So let me ask you some questions as I ask myself these things. Do you struggle in showing compassion to others when they hurt you and insult you and demean you? What about if it's a saved sinner, a Christian, who hurts you deeply? Do you respond compassionately to them? How do you do that? The way you do it is that you need to remind yourself of some key truths. What are those key truths? You need to remember this. You need to remember that no matter how hurtful another Christian is to you, you need to remember that Christ had compassion for them. He loved them and died for them and shed his blood for them. And that truth will help you to respond with compassion. And it's the same with lost sinners. When it comes to them being so mean and demeaning and so destroying, they're just trying to get at you. The way that we can show compassion to a lost sinner is by remembering their situation. Remembering that they are heading for hell. To remember that they are going to be separated from God eternally. To remember that they are entrapped by Satan. The battle we're having is not against them, but the one whose camp they're in. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. That's what we're taught in the Bible. And it's only when you think like that that you're going to be able to have compassion and care for sinners about us. rather than doing what? How do we often respond? By being critical, by being condemning, by being cold, all those other C words, rather than being concerning and caring of those around us. I look at this story and I am blown away by Paul's response. Are you? But really, we should know deep down in our heart that's exactly how we all should be if we love Jesus and follow him. But let's look at a few other things now. Let's look at Paul's defense. And Paul's defense is basically conveying the story, his story, of how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you that the Apostle Paul was so keen to convey his story because he had compassion for them and he wanted them to know how he had become a Christian because he was hoping that they might become Christians too. I just love the way as he shared his testimony. He wasn't casting pearls before swine. He was casting what is paramount before sinners, the way of salvation and eternal hope in Christ. That's what he was about. And I love the way Paul did it. There's some great lessons to learn in the way Paul conveyed his story to them. First of all, he spoke respectfully. Did you pick that up in chapter 22, verse 1? It says there, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I now offer to you." I know what else he could have said. "You annoying people. Let me tell you, you crazy people. I pray that God might strike you down." Nothing like that. See the respect he has for them? "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I now offer to you." And that respect that Paul shows, even to people who hated him, it reminds me of a Bible verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, where the Apostle Peter says, "Set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense for the hope that is in you, if anyone asks of it. But do it with gentleness and respect." There it is. Every time we share, like the Apostle Paul shows us, it should be with respect. Gentleness and respect. But not only did Paul respect them, I also love the way that he had rapport with them. How did he develop rapport with his people? Well, in verse 3 he says, "I am a Jew." He wanted to make links between them. And not only that, he wisely chose to speak to them in a certain language, the Hebrew dialect or Aramaic. You see what Paul's doing? It's so important we do this. We make rapport, good rapport with each other. And then not only did Paul do that, but he spoke by relating to them. In verses 3 to 5, we'll just read it very soon, but what Paul was doing is he's telling them, "Look, I was just like you." He was relating to them. "I also hated Christ. I also hated Christians. I was just like you." It's important to relate. We're sinners. We can relate to lost sinners. We can tell them the struggle of being in sin and how we once were. We're meant to relate to each other. We're not above the people of the world. God's got us in the world to relate to other people. Let us read verses 3 to 5. Let's see how he related to them. "I am a Jew," he says, "born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today." There he is, relating to them. Then verse 4, "I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons, as also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren and started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished." So Paul is helping them see that I was just like you. I was just like you. But then after he related to them, he did the next big thing. He revealed something. What was he going to reveal to them? He was going to reveal the amazing thing that happened in his life. How he who was a hater of Jesus became a lover of Jesus. How he came to be from a lost state to be found. And he began to reveal to them how he became a man who loved Jesus. And you can't help but just glory in his testimony. What a wonderful testimony it is. Let's have a have a look at it. Verses 6 and 7. Let's read. Start off with them. But it happened that as I was on my way approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. Wow, Paul had a heavenly experience. Verse 7, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And friends, I've got to stop and I've got to take in those words. We know that those words are the words of Jesus. It is the Lord Jesus who is appearing to Paul or Saul of Tarsus. And as I think of those words that Jesus speaks, I am blown away. And why I'm blown away is this. Sometimes we can just take it for granted, but you know, Jesus could so easily have struck Paul down. He's going up to Damascus to hurt and maim and bring back from Damascus prisoners who love Jesus. But Jesus does not strike him down, but he speaks to him. And he asks him a question, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I can't help but see it. Jesus is being so compassionate to Paul. He is confirming that he really does exist, and he's calling Paul to himself. That's compassion. He does not deserve this. Many a Christian who was following Jesus at that time would have been alarmed to think that Jesus is being compassionate to this man who was so opposed to them. But so is the grace of our God and the compassion of Jesus. And then verse 8, Paul responds. He says, who are you, Lord? I reckon he knew who he was. He just couldn't believe it. And then Jesus says to him, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And again, I can't help but think of those words of Jesus. He's so humble. I am Jesus the Nazarene. I am Jesus the Nazarene. You know, the one you despised. You thought I was just a man from Nazareth. That's what they all thought, those who weren't believers. But now Paul knew. Now Paul knew that the one who he hated, the one who he had opposed, the one who he tried to destroy, is none other than the Christ, the Son of God, who really did rise from the dead and who gave his life a ransom for us. Can you imagine how that would have so impacted Paul's life? And especially the compassion that had been shown him, a dreadful sinner. And let's keep reading. And those who were with me saw the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, get up and go on into Damascus, and there you'll be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. But since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me, and I came into Damascus. And a certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me. And this Ananias was a Jew, but a Christian Jew. He was a believer. He was a little bit horrified to be told by God to go and see Paul. We don't have that part of the story, but that's elsewhere. But he still went. And look what he says. He came to me and standing near said to me, Brother Saul. He knew this man would become a brother. Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very time, I looked up at him. And then we have these most wonderful words from Ananias. And Ananias said to Paul, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one. Who's that? That's Jesus. He's the righteous one who makes us right with God. And not only that, but to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on his name. And as I hear those words of Ananias, I can't help but realize something very important. Even though Paul had a most incredible heavenly experience, even though he had seen the Lord Jesus in all his glory, even though he had heard his voice, the voice of Jesus. This might be a shock to you, but he wasn't saved yet. You're not saved by experiences. You're not saved by anything like that, or religious stuff, or good works, or anything. Ananias said to him something very vital. What was it? There it is at the end of verse 16. Wash away your sins by calling on his name. And that's what the apostle Paul did. He called on the name of Jesus to have his sins washed away. And friends, I can't think of anything more important than that. When I think of faith in Christ that saves me, I know that this faith requires action. And what type of action does it require? It requires me to say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Please wash me clean of all my sins. And he can, because he's the one who died for you. He's the only one who can. No one else can. We must come to him. And that's what Paul did. And not only that, but he was urged to be baptized. We ought to understand that in the New Testament scriptures, baptism doesn't save you, but it's something that we ought to do in obedience and love for Christ, because he commanded that we should be baptized to declare our faith publicly. Every genuine believer, every true Christian, is one who has called on the name of Jesus. Have you? It's not enough to believe in Jesus. It's not enough to have some spiritual experience like Paul. You must call on his name. You must personally connect with him and ask the Lord Jesus to save you. And if we are a genuine believer, there is no excuse here. We ought to be baptized because Jesus commanded it. We ought to be baptized. Have you been baptized? I know we've got a baptism coming up soon. Amy's getting baptized. Good on you, Amy, and others are as well. And we ought to if we love Jesus, because that's what Christ has commanded us. Well, let's read verses 17 to 21 now. It happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I fell into a trance and I saw him, that's Jesus, saying to me, make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves understand that in one synagogue after another I used to imprison and beat those who believed in you. And look what he brings up now. I don't believe Paul ever forgot this. And when the blood of your witness Stephen was being shed, I also was standing by approving and watching out for the coats of those who were slaying him. I think Paul would have remembered that all the days of his life. Why? Why would you remember such a horrible thing? To remember how great God's compassion and grace was to him. And Jesus said to him, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Friends, Paul conveyed his story. He shared his testimony in the hope that these blind sinners, lost sinners, would also come to know Jesus. What's a testimony? It's as simple as what we've read there. How we were before we met Jesus. And the key, how we met Jesus personally, in a real way. And how he changed our life ever since we met him. Do you see that in Paul's testimony? That's how a testimony is. And I need to ask us all this morning, do you have a testimony? Because in one sense, that's a good test to know if we are a Christian or not. Do you have a testimony where you know how you once were before you knew Jesus, and then you know absolutely how you met Jesus and you know him personally and how you came to him? And have you experienced that changed life when we meet him? Do you have a testimony? If you don't have a testimony, if you can't relate to what I'm saying to you, then there's a good chance, now let me say it even stronger, you're not there yet. You're not there yet. There is no way when you meet Jesus that your life remains the same. You see absolutely that change from darkness to light, even if it's over some time period. For some of us, it's instant. For others, it's over a time period. But we know that incredible encounter with Jesus. His compassion and grace, the way he softened my heart and touched me and broke me, that I came as a humble sinner in repentance to him. It's not something you'll never forget. And it's our joy and privilege to convey our story to others, because we should have compassion on others and want them to know Jesus too. Well, the very last thing I want to say is that after Paul had shared that testimony, look what happened in verse 22. Wouldn't it have been lovely if I read in verse 22 and all the crowd, just like in days of revival, they just humbled themselves on the ground and were calling on the Lord to save them. That's how it should read. But God knows that the human race is rebellious. The human race is in rebellion to Him in all that He has done. That rebellion against Paul that we're going to read now was not just against Paul, it's against God. It's against His love for us. Verse 22 says, they listened to him up to this statement, and then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And I know that can really discourage us when we get a response like that. It didn't discourage Paul, because their response, we can't do anything about that. So no matter how that crowd responded to Paul, and no matter how people might respond to us, we are still to do that thing. What is it? To commend the Saviour to all those around us. And I love the way Paul did that. He commended the Saviour. He commended the Saviour by the way he conveyed his story. And he commended the Saviour by the way he was compassionate towards sinners. Do you see that? He commended the Saviour not just in word, but also in deed. He spoke respectfully to them. He did all these things that we ought to do, so that people might not only hear us share Jesus, but they can see Jesus in us. This is the way of Christ for each one of us who love Him. So the last words I want to share with you this morning is this, and these words challenge me. We are a people who are called to be compassionate. That's meant to be our response. Not to be critical, not to be condemning, not to be cold. We're meant to be compassionate to all. We're meant to care for sinners. We're meant to be conveying our story to others. And in all that we do, we are meant to be commending our Saviour to one and all. And friends, I would say to you, second to giving glory to God, that is our great calling. Every Christian is called to be like that, to be compassionate, caring for those around, telling our story, and also, of course, commending our Saviour. It's the great task that we have been given while here on earth. And if you don't view it like that, then you might as well go home to heaven now. But that's not God's will, is it? God allowed you to stay here. Why did He allow you to stay here? That you might be one who commends the Saviour to others. Now, I look at life like this. I don't know how much time I've got left here on earth. No one knows. Not only that, I reckon the Lord's return is pretty near. All these things should be urging us to live our life well. It's time for us to change. It's time for us to live the Christian life well. It's time for us to have hearts full of compassion, no matter what people do to you, just like a Pastor Kiefer that we heard this morning, who would be going out as soon as he could to reach lost sinners despite what they did to him. That's the normal Christian life. And then one day we're going to rest and enjoy eternity with God's full glory. How about that, eh? Well, we're going to sing a song that is a lovely song. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day. Our Father, we thank you for how we are so blessed and privileged to be allowed entrance into your presence, to be a child of yours. We who were lost and rebellious to you. And we thank you for the way that you, in your great compassion, enabled us to come to know you through your Son, if we have come there. And I just ask that you would help us to not live in our fleshly way anymore, but by the help of your wonderful Spirit, that you would help us to be a compassionate people, that the way we respond to people would be changed. We wouldn't be callous and cold, critical and condemning, and even as I say that, Lord, forgive us for how we so often have. Please help us to show the compassion of Christ to others.
Help us to realize the importance of shining Jesus more than seeking our own justice and being defensive ourselves. And I pray that our lives would be transformed for the glory and honor of your name and for the purpose of Jesus' name being made known to other people. May we reflect to brothers and sisters the Christ in us, and may we reflect the Christ to those who are lost. Our Father, how we need your compassion in our own life. You are a compassionate God. May we fully receive your compassion, and may we give that compassion out to other people as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.